Good morning. Hope all is well with you and yours, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. For God is good, and he's worthy to be praised, and we're just so grateful to him from whom all blessings flow. I don't know about you, but I'm just excited to be in the house of the Lord on today. From all the traveling and things that we've done throughout the whole week, amen, to God to bring us back here safely one more time. And we're grateful for those who have pressed their way out on this morning. I know it's a little wet. It's a little cold. It's that April time of the year where the weather changes like this. But nonetheless, there's a fire in my belly. There's a fire in my spirit. They say, I want to go on and see what the end is going to be. Hallelujah. Without any further ado, we're going to take this to our praise and worship leader, Sister Dominique. Sister Dominique, is on you.
Good morning, Praise and Safe House. It's such a great opportunity to be back with you all to worship and praise the true and the living God. Hallelujah.
I'm serving till I die.
know you got the victory. Put your hands together and praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Call his name.
Put a praise right there. Hallelujah. 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 That God is able. Every promise to you. don't give up on God. That's prophetic right there. Somebody don't give up on him. Oh, don't give up on God. 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 Cause he won't give up on you. Cause God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, cause he won't give up on you. Don't give up on God, cause he won't give up on you. Don't give up on God, cause he won't give up on you. He's able. He's able. He's able. God is able. God is able. God is able. And he won't fail. God is able. God is able. God is able. And he in him there is no failure. In him there is no failure. In him there is no failure. God is able. God is able. God is able. And he won't fail. Thank you.
Lord, you've been strength, you've been omnipotent, you all seeing, Lord. Lord, we honor you in this place on today. Lord, we give our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our souls, our spirits to you, Lord. Knowing that you're the creator, Lord, you're the start and the finisher of our faith, Lord. Lord, I don't care what any situation that we may come in, Lord Jesus. You said that you are the Alpha, that you are the Omega, Lord Jesus. First and the last, oh God. When you saw it all in creation, oh God, when you thought to yourself, Lord Jesus, that you would make your God, and that you would make your people, oh God, to be in it, Lord Jesus, and you would make them in your image, oh God, Lord, you did not fail, Lord Jesus, for you knew all and you saw all. And Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, as we live this life, Lord Jesus, and know that we're going to live again, oh God, if we walk in by faith, Lord, if we hold it on to your unchanging hand, oh God, Lord, not short where you can't save, Lord. We honor you this morning. Lord, we praise you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, your traveling mercy to those who are on their way, oh God, Lord. Thank you for those who are here. Thank you for those who are on. Thank you for, Lord, just your love and your kindness and your peace towards us, oh God. As we open our hearts and our minds, our bodies and our souls and our spirit, Lord, you said, when there be two or three in the midst, there you are, oh God. And Lord, we ask that you be in this midst on today. Lord, allow your word to ring right on us, oh God, Lord, that it be a fresh word, oh God, that it be a timely word, that it be our own time word, oh God, that it speaks to our hearts and our minds, our body, soul, and spirit, oh God, Lord, that we encompass all of you, Lord Jesus, knowing that you're able, Lord Jesus, to do above and beyond and exceedingly glad. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, we love you, Lord, and we praise your name, Lord, for it's not like you. Lord, we thank you for healing in our bodies, oh God, in the front of our head. To the souls of our feet, Lord Jesus, Lord, anything that may be in our bodies, oh God, that wants to go left, that doesn't want to do what it's supposed to do, I ask that you touch it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Bring us all in on one accord, oh God, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, we love you, Lord, and we praise your name. We just honor you in this place on today. We honor you in this time, Lord Jesus. We ask you to continue to touch the Harris, oh God, as she gets closer to the birth of her child, Lord Jesus, I ask that you bless her, oh God. A good labor, oh God, that you bring forth a healthy child, oh God. No danger, Lord, no hurt, harm, Lord. You're perfect in every way, oh God, Lord. We ask that you anoint her, oh God, Lord. We ask that you continue to touch her husband, oh God, and their family, Lord Jesus, and her sons. Love on them and bless them and keep them, oh God. Lord, as well as, Lord Jesus, the families that are here, Lord, you're with us, oh God, of the safe house, Lord. I ask that you love on them, bless them, and keep them, oh God. Lord, you ask you continue to touch Brother Jordan, oh God, and Prophetess, oh God. Lord, touch their children, oh God. Lord Jesus, Lord Layla and Sean, Lord Jesus, and Alexis, love on them, oh God. Lord, I ask that you continue to keep my wife and my family, Lord Jesus, as they continue to travel and get here. Lord, I ask that you bless them and you keep them, oh God, and others, Lord Jesus, they're online, Lord Jesus. I ask that you continue to put your arms around Sister Taylor, Lord Jesus, and her family, oh God. Lord, you touch, Lord, your Sister Pam, oh God, Lord, and her mother, oh God. Lord, I ask that you just bless them and keep them, oh God. Lord, Sister Carolyn, oh God, we know the weather has caused some, Lord Jesus, not because of the come, Lord, for the things that they're dealing with, but Lord, we just honor you. And Lord, we love you, Lord, and we praise your name for things being as good as they are, oh God. And we just honor you in this place, and we want to say we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name, and we give your name all the honor and all the praise, the glory and the power, Lord, for it's yours and yours alone, for we dare not touch that glory, but in all that ways we acknowledge you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I mean, you know God has been good to you. Amen. We're just so grateful, Sister Dominique. I think we got that thing figured out. Hallelujah. That thing sounds good this morning. Amen. As y'all know, she was playing live with the tracks, and I think we finally got it. It's been trial and error, so let's hope that if the powers that be, these organizations don't be updating their stuff and screw us up. Amen. But, yeah, it sounded really, really good this morning. Wonderful job. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you, how you doing this morning? Are you happy in Jesus on today? Hallelujah, for God is good and he's worthy to be praised. I don't know where my crew is. I know they left a while ago, so I hope nothing has happened or whatever. But I don't know, they just being a little slow. But nonetheless, we're grateful to see you all here on this morning, for God is good and he's worthy to be praised. And we're just so grateful to him from whom all blessings flow. For God has just been so good to us. He's been better to us than we definitely have been to ourselves. And we're grateful for that this morning. Hallelujah. I guess they're on their way. You know, you say, right, you know, you're just supposed to be here and they ain't here. I'm like, okay, what's going on? Because I know they should have been here by now, but nonetheless, we'll move on. Just so grateful to God from whom all blessings flow. I know many of you have been all over the place like me, just been traveling, so many different things that we have to do and places we have to go, amen. But God is good, and he's been good to us, amen. Wanted to say happy birthday to my leading lady, amen, but she's not here yet this morning. But we want to thank God for letting her celebrate yet another birthday on this day, earlier on this week. So we're grateful to God for that, amen. And we're grateful to all of those online. I don't know if we missed any other birthdays or what have you. We're not going to be terribly before you long on this morning, but we know we have another engagement later on today. But God is good, and we're just grateful to him for all the ways that he's continuing to make it. Grateful to you all who are just so faithful to this ministry and faithful to the call of God. Amen. I know it was probably a little hard getting out of bed this morning. I got up and I saw it was raining. I said, oh, no. And then I stepped outdoors and I felt the cold. And I said, oh, that's a double. And they said people want to come to church when it rains, and they don't typically like to come when it's real cold. And you got both of them on the same day. I'm like, oh, Lord. Amen. But nonetheless, God is good, and we are just grateful to him from whom all blessings flow. Thank you for all your prayers, praying for me as I travel up and down the dangerous highways and over our airways and the byways. Amen. And God's just been so good to us. I want to give you a couple of announcements far as way of how we'll be moving going forward on a couple of things. I'm going to make sure I get the dates right here. So I will be sending out a flyer or a list of all our dates. So we do have all our dates confirmed for the year. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought you was online. We have all our dates confirmed for the year, so we'll be sending a flyer out about that. The next time that we will be in person will be on the 19th of May, which is roughly a month from now, on May the 19th. And a couple of reasons. If you notice, I know we're not on Mother's Day. And the reason we're not on Mother's Day, I hadn't got an opportunity to tell you all, but I'm going to be traveling to Africa. And I'm going to be in Africa for 2 weeks. And so that covers that Mother's Day period. I'm going to be flying out, going towards South Africa. I'm going to be in Zambia, in the country of Zambia, for approximately 2 weeks. And I'll be flying out on the 4th of May, that Saturday. And I'm looking to return on, I think it's the 16th of May. Amen. So I have some work that I'm going to do. We'll be attending church while I'm down there. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. I know that's going to be a different experience. And God is just opening doors. It was last year this time, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. But now God has opened up so many doors. So with that, we will still have our services. And I have things in order. And I have things online. And Sister Dominique and I have been working on some things together. Amen. So we won't miss a beat, but I won't physically be here. And as a result of that, Mother's Day. So hopefully the mothers won't beat me up too bad. I know that's you all's day, but I promise you we're going to make it up to you on Mother's Day. So we do acknowledge Mother's Day. We will acknowledge Mother's Day, but we'll celebrate on that next Sunday if y'all can bear with me on that. Amen. I ain't getting a lot of amens from the mothers, but I know. But I just want to let you know that, so this came up, and this is how it was scheduled. And I was like, oh, my goodness, that's Mother's Day. And, you know, most of the time, especially in the black church, you know, you have these, what we call the CMEs. Christmas, Mother Day, and Easter was when you can expect to see a crowd. So we saw Easter last week. Last time we was pretty full. Mother's Day, you're typically full because they're going to go celebrate mom. You know, your dad, sometimes we get a bad rap. And then, of course, Christmas, a number of people are there. So I was like, oh, man, that's one of those days. But, again, want to give you notice in advance. Like I said, we will have everything set up and everything will go forward. Amen. Because I think time-wise, plus 8 hours. So I'm actually a day ahead, and it's going to take me about 2 days to get there. I think about 4 different flights, about 10 hours each. So I'm looking forward to it. Definitely be an experience. Never thought I would go. Always one of those things that's on your bucket list, but you never know what God is willing, is able to. Well, we know he's able to do any and everything, but you never know what door he's opening for you. Amen. So I do believe there is work to be done there. As you all know, I traveled a lot on this week. I've been to Alabama, I went to Washington, D.C., then back to Alabama, then to New Jersey. I was there in Princeton for a couple of days. Amen. And then went from Princeton back to here, and we'll be going back to Alabama tonight. And I say that, this, and I bring that up, well, with all the traveling and things I'm doing, one thing is becoming more and more evident to me that we have a world around us that needs us. We have a world around us that desperately needs us. The Bible talks about there's war and rumor of war, and then there will be earthquake in diverse places. Amen. There will be things going on. I don't know if you look in the news, but you see that Dubai had a rainstorm. They got more rain in 2 days than they normally get in the whole year. And it's the desert. You take your geography, Dubai is the desert. And they got more rain in 2 days than they normally get the entire year. Something's going on. There was an earthquake last time over New Jersey, New York area since last time we've been here. We see Israel is now attacking Iran. The Bible tells us with all these things that we should look what to the hills that come by him, that the time is drawing now, but it's not exactly now. So continue to watch. Continue to see. There's a world who desperately needs our help. And I often ask myself, Lord, why do you have me in these places and meeting with these people and seeing these people? And what I understand, I saw some people as I was with my training. Amen. God has blessed me. They're trying to train me to be a president. Amen. And in my presidential training there on the last week, I saw people who were very vulnerable with us but told the truth. And it's a lot of things that go on behind these closed doors that some people don't even have an idea what's going on. And some of the things that are done, you haven't seen to have. You know, we think about those things that we do know about when we see, okay, you know, this singer's been sued for this and these have been accused of this. And then years later, this stuff comes out. And we know this stuff is going on all the time. The Bible says it like this. He said that what there were things going on in high places, right? He said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against what? Principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. There are places much higher than you and I that things are going, and things are transforming right in front of our eyes. Amen. And see, we got to have the spiritual insight. This is what we talked about, looking through your spiritual eyes that God is giving you, because now you can start to see things happen before they happen. Do you not know the Bible gives us insight and it shows us things and it puts us in position that we'll know things and how to position ourselves? See, here's the thing. God didn't keep us from all things. Some things we're going to go through, but when we go through them, he has given us the information, if we listen, to position ourselves so that when we go through them, we go through them all right. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? It didn't mean that we're not going to go through troubled times. He told us we're going to go through troubled times, but there's also instruction that he's given us that if we follow the instruction he's given us, when those troubled times come, we have more than enough. Do you remember the story of Joseph? When Joseph was sitting up there, he said, look, these times were going to come. But what they did is they put away some grain, and they put enough grain away that when the troubled time came, that they made it all right. In fact, they were in position to do what? To be able to help somebody else. And what I'm finding is that God is putting you and I in these places, not for us to show off and see all that we have, but there are people who need our help. They need to hear from us. I watch people
that were just burying their souls and, you know, having to self-medicate. We talk about people who are teaching your children, people who are making these decisions that can't sleep at night. They have to drink wine before they go to, come on, somebody. They have to drink wine and they taking melatonin and Ambien and all these things to go to sleep because of the stress of the job. We seeing others just dying in the stress of the job. It's happening to both young and old people, amen. It's not just the old people, you know, you kind of expect it, but we see young people dropping dead. Man, Deesa just died this week, y'all. Gospel singer, I think 47 years old, they found her dead in her home, in her bed, or something like that. So it's both young and old, amen. But the Bible tells us what? To be prepared. Be prepared. So when I'm finding and I'm understanding that you and I are put in these places, why? Because we are to hold up that banner. We are to hold up that light of integrity. You see some things that you never think you would see. And I'm telling you that the temptation is there. But we that are rooted and grounded, that God is using us to be in those places so that when they do need somewhere to call. See, what you understand is those who have leadership and those who have status and power, not that they don't want to talk to everybody or talk to other people, but they can't because of their positioning. You know, I was telling my group the other day, we was talking, and they were saying, and I was giving kudos to those individuals who were retiring from the university. And as I gave kudos, they yelled out from the audience, said, "Hey, Doc, you forgot about Dr. such and such." And I said, "Well, I can't say that because I ain't got a letter from him yet." Amen. It may indeed be true, but I've learned in the short time that I've been your dean that if I say something, that is gospel coming out of my mouth. So what I'm understanding and what I'm finding, brothers and sisters, you and I, that God has put us in these places that even though you don't think you're nobody, even though you don't think you have business, even though you don't think you're that, God has you in a place that others see you as that. Whether you realize it or not, my wife and I went to attend an event last night, and as we was attending this charity event and enjoying ourselves, people were coming and they were talking to me, and I was realizing some things that, you know, I had to watch my behavior, amen, and you know, not that I don't watch my behavior, but you have to watch it even more because people are watching because they're taking cues from you. I'm already preaching it, amen. I didn't need to go that way. Maybe this is what God needed us to hear. But they're already taking cues from you and I as we move throughout. So I want us to be mindful of the fact, even though you look at yourself and you say, "I don't have this and I don't have that and I'm struggling here and I'm struggling that." And all these things may be true. But also at the same time, there's somebody who's watching you. They're watching your fight. They're watching how you handle yourself. They're watching how you go to and fro. And they're wondering, how do you do it? And I ask myself, I don't know how I do it, but I know who gives me the power to do it. Amen. Others may have been falling down. Others may have fallen under the pressure that you've been dealing with. But yet you stand up and you hold on. You stand up and you hold on. Why? Because God is working through you. Hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and get into what I want to say. We said happy birthday to you this morning, honey. I was a little worried. I didn't see y'all. I was a little worried. They could probably tell I was kind of discombobulated. I was like, "Oh, they supposed to be here by now." Now the things were buzzing off. I was like, "Okay." But nonetheless, y'all here, so my soul is good now. Amen. You know, when you get a good spouse, amen, you know, you do everything you can. And, you know, I've been blessed. I have a good one. I was telling her the other day, I said, "I think I love you more now than I ever have. I think you done grown on the old boy," as they say. But I'm grateful to her. And again, happy birthday from this past week. I want to go here, and I'm not going to be before you extra long. I ain't going to say that. Every time I say that, it end up being long. So, but today I want to go to the book of Luke, the 8th chapter. I'm going to start at verse 40. I want to give honor to God for all of those who have made it out on this morning. I know it's rainy. I know it's cold. And I know those are those days, like you said, you just want to snuggle in. It's like, "Ooh, this is a good sleep day." Amen. But first things first, and you can go back home and rest all you want. But we must also attend to our souls. So please, ask that you all pray for me. As we, like I said, I'm going to Zambia. I don't know if we're going to a couple orphanages. I'm going to see some kids and see some things firsthand. I'm going to some universities there. So talk about making some deals. The Bible says that your gift will make room for you. Amen. And I'm grateful that we're able to work in there. And I look forward to worshiping with our dear brothers and sisters there in Zambia. So I ask that you all pray for me that we have safe passage. And I think, to be honest, the next time I see you all, I would be back. So you all pray for me on that. Thank you for the prayers, those who continued on praying while we were away for the various trips when I had early morning flights. So we definitely appreciate that. And we'll talk about the prayer while I'm gone, too. I got to figure it out. Maybe I can still do it. But if not, I know that the sisters will carry on. Amen. And I appreciate that, if we're able to continue to do that. So we're going to Luke, the 8th chapter. And Sister Pam sends her best. It's her the weekend to be with her mom. As you all know, Sister Pam's mother is, I think, 92 or 93. 4 years old, and she's been with her brothers and sisters. They've been taking turns trading off, going to sit with her mother, and it was her weekend to sit with her mother on this weekend. All right, so we want to start in Luke, 8th chapter. I'm going to start at verse number 40. Luke, the 8th chapter, starting at verse number 40, and it says this. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him. For they were waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood was staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive the virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down before him. And she declared unto him before all the people for what causes she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace." Thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace. Well, if I were to use for a subject to share with you for a little bit on this morning, I want to talk to you from the subject of the faith taker. I'll talk to you from the subject of the faith taker. We pray. Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you, Lord, this morning, but we want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning, starting from our right mind. We thank you for the activity of our limbs. We thank you for clothes on our back, shoes on our feet, and food on our stomachs. Lord, we thank you for the roof over our head, oh God. Lord, we don't take any of these things for granted, Lord, but we honor you on this day. Lord, I ask you that you let the words come out of my mouth that you have to say, Lord Jesus, that you do the healing and the increase. And we ask you to do all these things to others in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So as we find here that Jesus here is coming, and this whole passage of scripture here in chapter number 8 is full of miracles. This is the same scripture where you'll find that Jesus cast out demons out of the man and put them into the pigs. This is the same chapter that you will find where this Jairus, you saw here, Jairus here, that his daughter was sick. And she was dying. In fact, she died while Jesus was on his way there. You also find here this story of the woman of the issue of blood, which many have made somewhat famous because she just touched the hem of his garment. And I was thinking on this weekend, as I was praying and I was thinking, you know, we talk about things in terms of risk. When we look at things, we do I work in a world where we always analyze and risk. When I talk about things to people, we always talk about in terms of liabilities and things that could come to us. And our job is to do whatever we can do to minimize that, because we don't want to be exposed to what they call risk. What risk simply is, risk is your ability to lose. And when we think about risk, everybody wants to be what we call risk adverse, meaning that I cannot take on any loss. When we think about things that we do, when we analyze stuff, we always doing things from a point of view that we always gain and that we never want to lose, amen. But sometimes, in fact, sometimes losing is not really losing, but it's actually putting yourself in a better position to go forward. So we often talk about things in terms of these people maybe potentially being what we would call risk takers, that these people here, that they add up the cost, and because they add up the cost, they know that the chances of them losing may be great, but therefore they still take the risk anyway. They still go forward even though knowing that I can lose if I do this. I can lose this and I can lose that and all this. And this is how the world talks about things in terms of risk, that they look at it from a negative point of view, that risk is not a positive thing, but risk is something that you want to be able to avoid at all costs. Risk is stuff that you don't want to take on. Risk is, if you're going to take it on, you want to minimize it as much as you can. Amen. So here we find that this lamb, as Jesus was going, Jesus was minding his own business. In fact, Jesus was going through and everybody was coming to Jesus. We find that the Bible tells us that Jairus comes to Jesus, and he was a man of the synagogue, so he was a man of importance in that community. And because he was of importance, that he had stature and he had rights and he had certain things that he would believe that he would have access to because of privilege of his position. And he finds that Jesus is coming through, and he has the faith to believe that Jesus can heal his daughter. So while he's on his way, Jesus he goes and he talks to him, and he's asking Jesus to come to his house to heal his daughter, that his daughter will be alive. In fact, the Bible tells him that he puts emphasis on it and said, look, Lord, this is my only daughter. And because this is my only daughter, I want her to live. I want to make sure that she's okay. And so now he puts this in, Jesus is on his way. But while Jesus is on his way, he has to make his way through the crowd. I'm here to remind you today that some of you have been praying, some of you have been asking God for some things, and I'm here to tell you that Jesus is on his way, but he's making his way through the crowd. See, I know sometimes we know that Jesus is a personal thing to us. He is our God, but he's also everybody else's God, amen. And he has a thing that he has a way of why he do what he do. What I'm understanding, and I learn more and more every single day, that everything on this earth is based on synchronization. There's a timing to everything. You think about it, just your own birth was a timing. Your own birth was, you know, timing. Your body is in sync. There's certain things that happen in time, and if your body gets out of time, then you find yourself, what, messed up, amen. Then you think about with your car, that the car runs in time. If you ever seen a car that jumps time, that's why the car be vibrating and shaking, because the car is now what they call jump time, and things don't work together like they supposed to. That's why the Bible said that all these things that come to us, that he said all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. So that means if you are in purpose, that all the things that you're going through are going to sink at some point in time. And even though you're feeling a little turbulence right now, even though you're feeling a little movement right now, I'm here to tell you that it's okay. See, I think about it, and I've been on these planes all the time now, and I got to the point that turbulence doesn't bother me terribly bad anymore. But I remember when I first got on one, when you feel that thing shaking in the air, you know it's nothing that you can do about it. What I find is that I found myself a little frightened like anybody else would be, amen. But I've got to the point in time now, when I see that plane starting to shake or whatever, all I do is I look out the window. And if I can look out that window and I can see that wing, what you'll find is that even though the plane may be shaking, you'll see that the wing is steady. And what that's telling me is that, yes, we're hitting some bumps and we're hitting some holes in the air. And there's some pockets, and this is such as life, that you hit some holes, you hit some pockets. Amen. But long as the wings are steady, that you're going to be okay. If that wing is turned or moved to the side or something, then we got a different situation. Because, see, what we got to remember, brothers and sisters, that God is steady. Amen. You notice that Jesus is working his way through the crowd. Others are panicking. Everybody's reaching out for what it is that they want. Amen. What it is that they need. And there was one in the crowd who had the faith to take what we would call the risk. But I want to rename her not as a risk taker, but as a faith taker. Amen. Because what we find, in fact, is that when she comes out, it took faith to reach out to Jesus, because Jesus was not in his way, on his way to heal her. Amen. Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. This is why I wanted to read that. That Jesus, I know a lot of times people make this story like Jesus was just walking around trying to heal her and heal others, but Jesus was on a mission. He was on his way to Jairus' house to go see about Jairus' daughter. And on his way of going there, there was somebody who saw Jesus passing by. And they saw it as a chance to take their opportunity. And if we look at the world sometimes, the world said, well, she took the risk of touching him. We're reminded that the definition of risk means that what? You are trying to what? Avoid loss. Amen. But what she did in fact is that she didn't lose anything. What she did was she took something. Oh, come on, somebody. The Bible tells us that what did Jesus even knew that she touched her, because the Bible said that he stopped and he said that who touched me, amen. And he knew that somebody had touched him, not because, remember the Bible said she touched her garment. I don't know about you, but you can come up here and pull on my coattail. I might not feel that, amen. But if you touch my skin, but see, Jesus, even in his garment, amen, this is why, brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us that we can pray over coughs and these kind of things and give them to the sick, and they will what? They shall recover, because what? That anointing that God has given us, what can be transferred there, and it's a symbolic symbol that what I am there, that I am be with you, and that our prayers are with you. And we see this through time and time throughout the Bible. In fact, when we see Elijah, that he goes up, when Elijah goes up, the Bible talks about his mantle fell, his mantle being of a coat, but that coat was just symbolic of all the things and all the anointing that God has left for him. And it was also symbolic. They said, look, I am reminded of the teachers of my Elijah who gone before me. I am reminded of the things that God did with him. And you told me that if I saw him go up, that I would be able to do the same things, and if not more than that. And we find out that not only does he do that, but he does more than that. So the garments mean something. Amen. We talked about in Bible class, we talked about in Exodus about the ephod and how they dressed and all these things and the jewels and the different diamonds and stones that they would put. All these different things meant something. So clothes do mean something. I know somebody said, well, you can just come just as you are. And I know we wore that scripture out, amen. And I know what he means to a certain extent, but it does mean something. That there is some meaning behind that, because it's symbolic of what. This is why they just didn't wear any and everything, but it was symbolic of some of the things that were to come. So here he's wearing what? He's going through the city, and he feels somebody take something from him. And he said that what? Who touched me? And when he asked the reason somebody touched him, is because the Bible said that he felt the virtue come out of him. That means he felt what? Some of his faith leave him. Amen. So what we find here, that the woman with the issue of blood, that she, Bible said that what? She spent all she had by going from doctor to doctor, from physician to physician, and none of them can heal her. And what she was indeed lacking here was a sense of faith that, Lord, I can you can heal me in my situation, but I need something to hold on to. I need something to reach out to. I need something to believe in. Amen. And this is why God has allowed us to be here on this day, that we can what, reach out to one another and know that what, if God did it for this one, then he's able to do it for you, and he's able to do it for me. So now we find that she touches him, and as she touches him, the virtue leaves his body. So she now takes what, some of his faith. This is why we talk about faith and night's faith, amen. And if I share my faith with you, that this is why I often talk about faith in terms of like that candle. And y'all heard me say it again more than one time, that that candle, where if you put your wick in that candle and that candle's burning, that does not change the size of your wick. In fact, what you do is now you give me opportunity to heat mine up, and everybody else can put theirs in there. I think it's a very unique thing that you can take a flame, and no matter how many times somebody else stick their wick in there, the size of that flame doesn't change. And that is symbolic of what God has done for us. Because see, the world tells us that this is risk. The world tells us that every time I give something to somebody, that I actually have less. And this is why we typically don't want to give or share with anybody. Why? Because we're worried about the risk. We're worried about the loss. What if I go out here and I start praying for people? How would I look? What if I went to my meetings and I did certain things? How would my colleagues perceive me? What I found even on this weekend as I was talking to my wife, and we was talking about some of the things that we had, you know, some of the things that we were worried about going through our, as I move on and do things that God opened up doors for us, and the things that we were worried about, I found that when I asked the other people and those who are already in position that I want to be in, amen, I found that the things that I was worried about, they don't even worry about, amen. The things that I thought would be important are not even important, amen. So I'm here to remind you today that some of the things that you are worried about, some of the things that you are concerned about, I'm here to tell you today, they're not even looking at that, because what God is dealing with you is so big and so awesome and so full. All they want to do is they just want to touch the hem of his garment, and they're touching the hem of his garment through you. Hallelujah. I know it was often told to me that sometimes the only Bible somebody's going to know is you, because that's the only person they see. They don't have access, and they're not reading, and they don't know, but they know how you treat them. They know how you make them feel. They know how you walk, and they're watching how you talk. And I know you said, well, that's a lot of pressure on me, but you say, you know, all the time you throw your hand up and you say, God, use me, use me, use me. And then when God decides to start using you, then we want to tell him how to use us. Oh, come on, somebody. We ask God, say, God, use me up. We'll throw our hands up. Use me, Lord. Use me up until I overflow, Lord. Yeah, I want you to pour into me. Give, give, give. And God said, I'm only going to give to you if you're willing to give it out. What's the point of me to continue to give to you and make you fat and nobody else has anything to give? So you want more, you want to have more, then you got to give more. That's me, more of your time, more of your intellect, more of your thing. And I'm here to tell you today, sometimes does it hurt to give? Yes, it hurts, because people treat you some kind of way sometimes. You give of yourself and you do this and you do that and they treat you. But I'm here to tell you today, I have to remind myself, and I want to remind you that when you give as unto the Lord. My wife had to correct me many times, and I would come home and I'll be frustrated. I said, well, we did this and we done that and we done that and they did this and they did that. And I have to remind myself that, well, I done it as unto the Lord. Because if I did it to me, I'm looking for what? I'm looking for something back in return. Because when Jesus lost something, he said that the virtue came out of me. What if he did? But he didn't say that, what? That since the virtue was out of him, what did he tell that woman? He told that woman now that she was made whole. Why? Because that was the missing part in her walk. That was the missing part in her talk. She had did everything she could. If you notice here, the Bible said what? She expended all she had. See, some of us, God can't get our attention until we expend everything we have. Why? Because we trust in the money that we have. We trust in the situation that we're in. So sometimes God has to put you in a situation where you don't have no choice but to touch the hem of his garment. And when you touch the hem of his garment, then he will make you whole. See, it was here that she didn't care. You know, if you ever been sick and in your body and you gone through some things, you don't care about what the money that you got. They say it like this. It's often said that you spend all your health trying to get your wealth, but you spend all your wealth trying to keep your health. Oh, come on, somebody. If you are healthy and you have a sound mind and you can walk around and you can breathe on your own and you can feed yourself, amen, and you can go to the bathroom on your own and you can run and you can walk and talk and all these things, you have something to be grateful for, because there are another people who've lost these money for some these things and being able to do this and being able to do this that we take for granted on each and every single day. And I just want to be reminded on today, and I want to remind you on today, that we are what? That we are the faith takers, amen. Because it's not a risk to us. Because see, when we look in faith, faith says that what? I already know that it's done. Oh, come on, somebody. This is what faith says. But see, we're fighting against the world mentality. This is why this makes this so hard. Because I've been trained for 15 or 20 years that this equals this and that equals that. And you don't do this and you don't say that. And see, what happens is God works exactly the opposite of that. This is why he tells us to be in the world, but not of the world. Amen. So when we in the world, we have a world mentality, because this is how the world works. The world said that you keep it to yourself. The world says that you hold this in your pocket. The world said you do it this way and you do it that way. But the kingdom of God says exactly the opposite. He said that you should give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, that what a man will give unto your bosom. Amen. That he said that what you are to what? Be kind. He said that when they come to you, you ought to turn the other cheek. Oh, come on, somebody. I know we don't want to talk about this, but this is what how the kingdom works. Because he said that if you are willing to go low, he said, those that humble themselves shall be exalted. So what is he doing here? What we and you and I have to be faith takers, amen. That I don't call it risky anymore. That I call it a faith taker, amen. They talking about some people are risk takers. I'm calling us to be faith takers because we don't have to take risks because we already know, amen. We do things by faith, but knowing that they're already done. So it's not necessarily a risk. A risk means well, there's going to be a loss, amen, that you're trying to avoid loss. But if I'm doing it in faith, I'm not looking at a loss. I'm only looking at a gain. So therefore, I take it in faith, that I take the steps by faith, that I walk by faith and not by sight. Because if I see sight, sight is just what? A part of my mind. It's just the interpretation of my mind of what's around me, amen. So if my mind is messed up, then all I can see is things that are messed up. If my vision is distorted, these things that are in front of our eyes, these what we call our eyes, are nothing but holes to our soul, amen. They're nothing but what? Light receptacles. Because all they do is take in light, and our brain interprets what we're going to see, amen. And if your brain is messed up, if the mind is messed up, the Bible said, let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. This is why it starts with the mind, because if the mind, as the mind goes, so does the goes the body. And if the mind is set, then the mind can change some things, and it can move some things. And this is what she's doing here. So she got to a point, number one, that she gave all she had. Sometimes God got to put us in a position that we have no other choice but to trust him. Oh, come on, somebody. When you're in a situation, you're in a circumstance, you have no choice but to trust him. And I was sitting here and I was thinking, all last week, as I was hearing these people talk, and I was hearing these behind the door conversations and stuff, that it seemed like all these things are already fixed. People know who they want for certain jobs and all this kind of stuff, and they hobnogging and they snogging and doing all this stuff and brown nosing and all these kind of things. And then I asked myself, so what's the point of me even trying? Because they already have these things already set up. Oh, how many of y'all ever been in the job market and know that? Amen. I've been in the job market a couple of times, and you already knew that this person had this job and that one already had this job. And you ask yourself, what's the use of me even applying? But what I want you to know and want you to remember that God has a way. I've seen him do it in my own life more than one time. They seemed like what they wanted to do didn't work out. Oh, come on, somebody. And I don't think that just happened by osmosis, but God has a way that seemed like this one that they wanted to put in here for some reason, something else happened all of a sudden. And this one got over here, and that one got over there. And next thing you know, you're the only one sitting there, and you're the only choice. I seen them do it. So what I want to remind you and tell you today, that you still go ahead and apply. You go ahead and go forth in faith and know that what? If God is for us, then what? He's more than the whole world against us. So yes, you apply for that job. Yes, you go forth in that situation. Yes, you go forth and you put yourself out there. If God has told you to go, then what? You go forth. Because that means what? He has designed and created a path. The Bible says like this in Jeremiah. He said, I know the plans that I have for you. And therefore, you to have what? Good success, amen. So all we got to do, brothers and sisters, is walk forth and start taking it. Take it in faith. We got to be faith takers to say, okay, God, I understand this, and I know the circumstances around this, and it doesn't look good. It looks like this is a fixed fight. And I know here, Lord, it doesn't look right here, but Lord, you said for me to do it, so I'm going to reach out, Lord, and I'm going to do what you told me to do, because it's not a risk if I do it with you, Lord. I'm walking in faith, oh God, and I know that you're going to be there. And the Bible said at the end of the day, when it got said and done, not only was she healed, but what? She was healed and she was made whole. And it still did not impede what Jesus was going to do. In fact, what you find is now that the people that she, not only that she got made whole, but people are mad with her because she got made whole. They're mad with her, what? Not from the fact that she got made whole, but the fact that she impeded Jesus' progress towards Jairus' daughter. This is why it was important that we read that part before, because what? The whole reason Jesus was there was because he was on his way to Jairus' house, and she encountered him along the way. So this is why we talk about what? Timing. Timing is important. The Bible talks about like this, seed time and harvest. Amen. That what? It has to be in time. The Bible talks about like this in Ecclesiastes. He said that there's a time and season for everything under the sun. Amen. So timing is the central, and therefore what? We must be in place. We must be ready. Remember the bridegrooms, those that had their lamps, that they were ready when the bridegroom came, that they were ready and they were caught up to be with him, and those who were not ready were left behind. So what I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, let's be ye also ready. Let's get ourselves ready. Let's stay ready, because we don't know when and where this thing is going to turn. It was last year this time. I didn't know what I was going to do, and God turned my whole life around in less than a year, amen, and he turned some things and he moved some situations. And I'm here to tell you today that he's able to do the exact same for you, that we have to be what faith takers in this thing. We have to be able, willing to go out and say, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't see it, oh God, but I feel you, amen. Lord, I feel you in my heart. I feel you in my spirit, Lord. It's just something different. I don't know about you, but do you not get in a place sometimes you just feel a peace about a thing? I remember on last year when we got ready to make this move, and I went and talked to my wife, and I knew that already in my head I was thinking, she's going to ask me like I'm crazy. And I went and told Felicia, I said, look, baby, these people want me to come down here, and they want me to do this and this. What do you think? And she said, go for it. And I was like, huh? She'll tell you. I was like, really? And she was like, well, you know, you're not been really happy with that, whatever, and I don't feel anything different, so I think you should go for it, amen. And Lord knows, I talk to my spouse when we make big moves, amen, and we had conversations about it, amen, and God had already given her a peace about it, and therefore now I had a peace about it. So now we walk into this thing, and you walk in by faith, because you don't know these people, and you don't know this, and you don't know that, but all you do know is that, oh God, how great is he that's in me than he that's in the world. All I do know is like, Lord, you say you'll never leave me, nor will you forsake me. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. Lord, what I do know is, Lord, I've been faithful for as far as I know, oh God. No, I'm not dotted every I, haven't crossed every T. And in fact, that, Lord, I'm not justified by my works, oh God, but it's by your grace and your mercy, oh God. So if this is the way that you have us to go, Lord, you got to take care of us. Lord, if this is the way you have us to go, Lord, you got to protect us. If this is the way you got us to go, Lord, you got to put your arms around us. And lo and behold, as I see things now, I'm starting to see things that God is starting to have kept me from. I see things going around in places that I used to be in and situations that I were in that now is like going crazy, amen. And God has a way of escape. He knows what's the plans that he has towards you. And I'm here to remind you today, brothers and sisters, don't count it. Don't count it as lost, but it's what, count it all joy that God knows exactly what he's keeping you from. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we don't get to the point we say, well, Lord, what about this and what about that, when we don't measure the cost of all the things that he actually kept you from. I didn't realize that some of the things that started to happen, I didn't see those things happening. All I saw was more and more is like, this is more corrupt, and this is more that, and this is that. And all I could see was myself in it, but God already had a plan. He was already working it out before I even knew, before I even thought about it, before I even saw it, that he already knew. He already had justified, and that's what he tells you, that what? If you called according to his purpose. So you must know it. You must understand, Lord, what is the purpose for my life? What is the purpose? And I'm going to tell you right now, the purpose for your life is that we are to serve him. Some of us, God has put in many, many, many high places. And he's putting some of you in high places. And he's continually to open those doors for you. He's going to continue to open those doors for you. But watch this. You got to be willing to humble yourself. You got to be willing to say, okay, God, I don't know. You got to be willing to go scared. It's scary out here from the world point of view. You don't know what they're going to do. You don't know how this is going to turn. And you calculating this and you put it in your spreadsheet and the numbers still come out red. And you're trying to figure out, okay, God, how am I going to do this? But I'm here to tell you today, every time somehow it gets done. I don't know. I call it God mathematics. And I know the math. And my numbers never came out right. I'll give y'all this quick testimony and I'm done. You know, as many of you are, and a number of us across the country now have been blessed to be relieved from them student loans. My student loan was a house payment. I was paying $1,200 a month. $1,200. It was more than my mortgage in sometimes. And in that paying for that, I didn't have it. We didn't have it. But somehow, every single month, it made it. We ain't going debt. It was always something. It was always something that got open. It was, well, can you come over here and do this? Or it was a refund check from something else. Or it was, can you come over here and help us do that? Or it was, can you do this? Or can you do that? And it was always, God always made a way that we made that. And I just wanted to say that to somebody today. Even on yesterday, I was thinking, I was like, okay, we got this rental property, and my tenant been complaining that the water heater's been acting up, and I've been trying to pay people to down there, and people been taking my money, and ain't nobody fixed it. And y'all know Pastor, y'all know me. I get over there, I fix it myself. And that's what I did yesterday. And I was sitting there thinking, like, man, I got to buy this new water heater, $700, $800. It's this and the that. And you know what happened the week before? Somebody called me out of the blue and said, hey, I need this kind of analysis done. What would you charge me to do it? And I gave them a crazy number. And they said, okay. Now, my skill that God has given me, my talent, my hand that he's given me, is easy for me. I enjoy doing that kind of stuff. I spent maybe 2-3 hours doing that. They paid me. And I think, oh, great. This is like a little extra money to do something else with. Probably the ways, go buy some fishing stuff or something. But lo and behold, a week later, I gotta go buy water here. God already made the way. I had the money to do it. My house lost nothing. Do you see how it works? I won't seek in that. But God already knew that I was going to have that. And I'm like, ah, that's going to mess up my little thing. So he already had made a provision for it. Now, I could have said, nah, I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. Because sometimes we do because we be in our own little way, right? But he already made a provision for that. Then on top of that, I had a client call me that, you know, my little bit, my insurance business that I hadn't talked to in 2 or 3 years. She said, call me. She said, oh, yeah, my husband has now turned 65 and he only want to work with you. So they call me and I go over there to their house yesterday and I sit there and I end up having this great conversation, just sharing. And see, you don't know how God is going to use you. See, so many times we just stuck on this one thing that we only can be used when we in this temple, that we only in this church. No. The work is outside. We come in here to get instruction and get power and encouragement so we can go out there and do the work. So I'm sitting there. He made it clear that he only wanted to talk to me. Now, if you look at this guy, he looked like what we would call the traditional redneck and all this kind of thing. But this is nice as can be. Only wanted to work with me. See, when God got something for you, it's just for you. I know in the line of work that I do like that, that is people, he said, oh, yeah. He said, we had 5 or 6 people come up here. They asked for this, and I kept telling them, I already had somebody. And in my mind, Lord knows, I was just so tired on last week. And I said, oh, God, do I got to do that? That I want to do now? I said in my mind, I said, well, no, I need to do it. Let me go do it because it's the right thing to do. So I got up, and I went. God gave me the energy to go do it. Boom, 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 knocked it out. And the money I made from that was enough to carry the other situation. Do you see? Y'all see what I'm talking about? God has a way. And this is why we're walking by faith. I don't see it. I don't know it. But this is why he does it like this, because it keeps us humble. Because if not, I'd be walking around, look at what I did. Look how I did this. Look how I built that. Yep, I manipulated my way to there. Look, I did this. I did that. I know me. But when you don't know, God has a way to say, okay, I'm going to bless you, but I got to take you this way. And what my job is to do is what? To leave breadcrumbs to others. They say, okay, this is the way. What do they mean breadcrumb? Breadcrumbs is, you know, here's little hints, little tidbits. Look, I didn't do this by this. I did this like this. And others have left breadcrumbs for us. The Bible is nothing but a what? A book of breadcrumbs. It's all history, right? This is what happened. It's a history book of what has happened, but also at the same time, it's his story that's ever living in us. So it's not only historic, but it's also present day and future tense all at the same time. How unique is that? Because if you take the principles of the Bible and listen to what he says, it'll put you in a position to be ready. He already told us there'd be war and rumor of wars and all these things will be happening. We on the verge of World War III. Any day now. It could pop off. It don't take but one. But even in all of that, he said what? He will keep us. God always got a remedy. So what I'm asking you today, be a faith taker. Don't think about the risk. Look at it in faith. The glass is either half empty or half full. It's still got the same amount of water in it. Right? Think about it. that glass is almost empty, or that glass is almost full. And what faith says is that that glass is almost full, and it's going to continue to be full. And every time I go there, it's going to somehow be more there. I used to tell my wife, I thought about it when we was going through that situation. And I mean, I legitimately borrowed the money to go to school because I needed it. And I was doing everything I could to pay it back. And you know what? It was like that barrel. Y'all remember that barrel in the Bible that said that Elijah was going and he asked the lady to make a cake, make bread for him. And she said, well, I'm going to make this bread for you and me and my boy, and we're going to die. And the Bible said every time she went back to that curse of oil, there was always oil there. And every time she went back to that flour, there was always a little bit more flour there. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. But faith is not one of those things that you understand. This is why it messes with us who are logical, who figure everything out. This is why it just messes you up. Two fish, five loaves of bread, and you came back with 12 baskets full, and you fed 5,000? How? The math ain't mathing. Two fish, five loaves of bread, came back with 12 baskets. Because we're thinking about it from where? Our context. But God's context is not our context. And that's the struggle of human frailty, is that we always struggling about what we think we know versus what he already knows. This is why the tree of good and evil in the garden was so critical for us not to. Why? Because you think you know. And you don't know. Your plans are not his plans. Your thoughts are not his thoughts. I struggle with it too, because I've been thinking this, and he was like, nope. I'm like, but you know, how? Trust my plan. How are you going to put them in the fire and they're going to come out? Because they went in there scared, I guarantee it. But they said, okay, we're going to go ahead and die. At least we died for Christ. And then he kept them through the fire. Daniel went in there and said, well, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die for Christ. And he shut the lion's mouth. Look at that. All of them had made a decision. So are you scared sometimes? Yes. It is par for the course. But you cannot be paralyzed by that fear. Y'all heard a couple, last time we was here, y'all heard Sister Webb give her testimony. She quit her job at the worst possible time when they were owing people all this money and all these things they had to do. And what? It just started. And God opened up door after door to the point they paid all that off. Her business is flourishing and she gives. She gets it. I see her, she's always out there blessing somebody else. Because what God said, look, the Bible says it like this. It says what? That he gives seed to the sower. What need is it me to give you seed if you ain't going to plant it? That's the whole point. So be a risk taker. I mean, a faith taker. That what? That we do these things, not in risk, but in faith. Lord, I don't understand it. I don't get it. But Lord, if you told me, now notice that, he got to tell you. You would know. You'll have a peace about it, even though you're like, everything about it says, But you'll feel like, well. And every time God has did something big in our lives, and I'm closing, is that he's given me a certain peace about it. Even though on paper, it sounded crazy. On paper, it didn't add up. I wrote down, I'm wondering why, y'all know I'm analytical. I didn't wrote down the cons and the pros. And I'm marking them off. I got spreadsheets. I got them in the spreadsheet. I do this, and I move this number, and I move that number, and it's still red. And I'm like, okay. So I can't cut no more. We cutting bone now. We didn't cut the tissue. We didn't cut the skin. It's bone. What are we cutting? Gotta have the lights. But somehow, some way, some fashion, it comes. It comes. And you know what? And it comes when you least expect it. And from the place you least expect it from. When I was gone last year this time, I thought I was just going over there to go see NASA. Because I was working. Not knowing that I was going to leave with a job that I wanted. that I've been praying and asking God for, and I had given up on that dream. And yet he came back and he laid it in my lap. He laid it in my lap. When God has got you, he got you. Trust him, because you don't want to put nothing in front of you that's going to destroy you. The Bible says it like this. The blessings of God are yea and amen. And they come with what? They do not add a sorrow. Read it. So if it's adding sorrow, you might want to question where it came from. Because the blessings of God are yea and amen, and they add no sorrow. No sorrow. Dear faith taker, let us stand. I'm done. Hallelujah. I know this one a fiery run you around the church today, but I know some of us are struggling in our faith. And I have moments, and I have my days and my times too. And we all do. That's why it's called a faith walk. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. So this thing is way above you and me. But no, we have somebody that's fighting on our behalf. And he didn't come exactly when we want him. But as the old saying goes, he'll be right on time. He's not forgotten you. He sees you. He knows your tears. He sees your private struggles. He knows your wants. He definitely knows your needs. And he said that what? I should supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. That I would rebuke the cankerworm and the locusts and all those things that came to eat up. That I will take them, I will multiply. This is only for a season. And you'll look back over this season, this was the foundation of that next level. I often think about it that, man, I'm starting over. But remember this, you're starting over at the foot of a brand new mountain. It's not the same mountain. What you're going through now, you won't go through again. But it's another mountain that he's bringing you to. And the faith and the energy and the strength that you and the skills that you develop on that last mountain, you're going to need them, because you're going to develop new ones on this new mountain. And this is why he had to have you go through that mountain, so that now you can be at the valley of the next mountain. And you start to climb that, and it takes that to go forward. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, I come to you right now, Lord. We ask that you look upon our church. Lord, you know us. You see us. You know where we were from our inception. Lord, our faith, Lord Jesus, for yourself, where if we have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, that we should be able to speak to the mountain and the mountain has to move. Lord, I ask that you move that mountain on today. Lord, you ask that let us grow in our faith, oh God, as we walk in by faith and not by sight. Lord, let our faith, Lord, for you said without faith it's impossible to please you. Lord, let our faith grow, Lord. And Lord, every time you ask us to grow our faith, Lord Jesus, you allow situations and circumstances come to us that we don't see, we don't understand, we don't know exactly how it's going to work out, but we have a peace, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding and rule in our hearts and in our minds, that we go forward, Lord Jesus. Even though we're scared sometimes, Lord Jesus, but you told us not to have the spirit of fear, but the spirit of what? Of a love and the power and of a sound mind. And Lord, we thank you for that. Help us, Lord Jesus, as we are faith takers, oh God. Lord, risk, because we're not losing, oh God, because you're not losing. But we walk in faith, Lord Jesus. That know, Lord Jesus, that the glass is half full. Lord Jesus, that it's almost done. That we're moving closer. That we're closer than we were today than we were yesterday. Lord, that when we touch you, oh God, Lord, that you made us whole. Because the faith was the missing ingredient in our walk, Lord. That we've given all that we have physically, oh God, but you gave us all that we needed spiritually. And we're able to take those skill sets, Lord Jesus, and parlay them into things, Lord Jesus, and others, Lord Jesus. And you continue to open up door after door and make way after way. And Lord, we are living, walking testimonies of your grace and your mercy and your power. And Lord, we honor you for that. And Lord, we love on you. Lord, we praise you. I ask that you touch each and every saint that's here, oh God. Love on them, oh God. Bless them, oh God. Let them know you, Lord Jesus. Let them see their faith grow, Lord Jesus. Lord, let other things be open. Lord, let them move forward, oh God, in faith. Lord Jesus, they know, Lord Jesus, that you have them, oh God, and that you're holding them. And even if they misstep, Lord Jesus, you have able to take that misstep
and turn that misstep into a bigger step forward. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Lord, we put all our strength and our trust in you, knowing that you have our tomorrow and that you have our way going forward. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we love you. Lord, I ask that you bless each and every one of them, oh God. Let no hurt them come to them in any form or fashion. Lord, bless their houses, oh God. Bless them financially, Lord Jesus. Let them, Lord, walk in prosperity, oh God. Let them walk in the flow of you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name. Now, Lord, we ask that you take them safely to their homes, oh God, wherever it is they need to go. Bless them and keep them, strengthen them, Lord. We ask you all these things and others in the powerful name of Jesus. For we know this one thing, we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Strengthen us and keep us and love us in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. I want to give you an opportunity to do offering. Amen. Our offering is by way of the Cash App. You can go to safehousechurchgso.com. Or you can Zelle at offering Safe House Church GSO, or you can do $ Safe House Church GSO. Again, it's $ Safe House Church GSO. God bless you all. I love you all. I ask that you all continue to pray for me as we, like I said, we're about to embark on our travel. The next time we'll be back here on May the 19th, amen, which is about a month out. So we look forward, hopefully the weather's breaking. And we will be celebrating our mothers on that day. Amen. We know officially that Mother's Day is the week before that, but we'll be out of town, as you already know. And we look forward to celebrating with you all. Remember also that we have our morning prayer. That our morning prayer will continue. Our morning prayer on each and every day, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. So God bless you all. I love you all. You all take care and make sure I want to get hug everybody's neck before you leave on today. All right. Love you. Bye-bye.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Hope all is well with you.